You're listening to the Boo Boys podcast.
Alrighty. Well, my name's Dalton.
My name is Paul.
I'm Aaron.
And we're the Boo Boys. And this week we are going to be visiting the Butterbox Children, a story that Aaron already knows about.
I thought it was the Butterbox Babies.
They're the same thing.
The alliteration is stronger with Butterbox Babies.
Butterbox Babies. The children, they grew up, some of them.
Some of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
They're Butterbox Deads now.
Butterbox Deads.
Most of them.
Look, if they got in the box, they didn't make it. It was really how
that goes. We'll get into that, though. We'll get into that to explain. Aaron, you were really excited about this one. Had you had heard of it before?
I had heard of it before, and it's hard to exactly pinpoint on it, but I do like dead babies, and so it's a topic that had come up. I think I saw it on like a In Search Of or something like that a long ass time ago with like Leonard Nimoy or some shit like that. So I do recall it, but I remember being like, when I went down the list of things you're looking to talk about, I was like,
you're like, oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
There is a movie about it, too. I've got, like, the movie sort of title here up on our screen. I've watched the movie. I feel like, and this usually happens with movies, they kind of, like, paint the bad guys out to not be as bad. Because you get to see, like, their motives, but realistically, like, the motive doesn't matter. What they do was actually really shitty. But, you know, movie magic, so let's go ahead and get started, and I'll tell you the story since Paul's the only one here who doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. Canadians.
So in like the mid to late 1920s until about the 1940s, in Nova Scotia, Canada, Paul's favorite place, he actually really loves Canada a lot.
So I do not approve of this.
There was this really interesting couple who they weren't really doing that well in the money category, and so they decided that they were going to open up a sanitarium. Now, Lila Young had just graduated college, and she was still kind of trying to figure out exactly what she wanted to do. But her husband, who is 2 years older than her, they were 28 and 30 at the time, William actually already was an unordained Seventh-day Adventist minister and missionary. So, you know, he was raking in those church dollars.
That's Mormons, right?
No.
What,
I thought.
I'm pretty
or is,
sure.
Is that Jehovah's Witness?
No.
Neither one of those.
Seventh-day Adventists?
Yeah, they're Christians, aren't they?
Yeah, that's just another
sect. Or Catholic. They're the people who are wholeheartedly believe the earth is only 2,000 years old and
they worship on Saturdays instead of Sundays, though.
Well,
because there's seven.
Because you rest on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so.
Basically, they're church people. And they're not a lot of fun.
Yeah, no. So they open up this health sanatorium together, and she had graduated college, but she didn't go to college for nursing or anything like that. She went in for being a midwife, but she actually decided to turn into the maternity area, where in this sanatorium, she kind of was like, well, I've got these health sort of rooms that I could use to my own advantage. So to make a little extra money on the side, she started offering services to married couples for midwife stuff, like helping deliver babies and sort of taking care of the birth, sort of.
Taking care of the birth.
Things, yeah.
Like pulling the baby out.
Yeah, that's basically all they did in the 1920s. They didn't have, like, you know, heart rate monitors or anything like that. There was no, like, pre-screening or.
So in the sanitarium, she would be the one who cuts the umbilical cord and eats the placenta.
She didn't eat the placenta. They would have sent that home.
Okay.
For them to eat.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Because times were scarce.
Paul.
It's the 1920s and throughout the 30s, so I mean definitely probably around then too.
Do we want to define what a sanitarium meant back in the day?
No. I have over 35 episodes talking about sanitariums specifically. I'm pretty sure the users know. And if you don't know by now, go ahead and just Google that real quick. We'll wait. Welcome back. Okay, so I'm assuming people know what that is. I've covered many a haunted sanitarium as well as true crime stuff that's happened and alien-like possessions. I even had a guy who does urban exploration come on the show and talk about how he, like, goes through, and he actually does, like, he goes and breaks into, like, old closed off places.
Yeah, and, it's dope. You should do it sometime. It's
oh my god, really I've sweet. His videos are terrifying. It's like moldy and watery, and like he'll jump down from the ceiling and like literally fall down into the ground. Like it's terrible.
Yeah, they're like old ass shit in there.
For yeah, getting, like, no, and like medical supplies and blood stuff. Still. Yeah, yeah, and awesome. But then homeless you've got like people. No, there's not homeless people in these ones usually because they're like scary. Out of the way. Yeah. They're not actually in cities. They're in like really small towns, like 100 miles away from where civilization. Where
you
would
put these things? Yeah,
they're like all boarded up. So yeah. He like literally breaks into them. And I mean, at this point, it doesn't really matter because it's been a while. No one knows who I'm talking about. But there's an episode where he does go into that. And that was really interesting.
What kind of couple, though, comes together and they think, you know, we're short on cash. We should open a sanitarium. That's their go-to.
At the time, in the 1920s, a sanitarium made decent money because you'd get money from the government, plus you'd get money from people's families. Because a lot of people who, they weren't necessarily hard to take care of, they were just a little more difficult to take care of, kind of got sent away. Like, if you had a strong opinion and you were a woman, you could get sent to a sanitarium and that you could take full care of yourself and someone just didn't want to deal with you. Or you could also be someone who absolutely cannot handle themselves or is a vegetable.
Spent too much time online.
Right. Sure. Yeah. And could need full-bodied care. So it kind of ranges between those types of people. So they probably were pretty selective on who they'd let into the sanitarium and to how much work they needed because they didn't have a lot of employees when they first started. And also, you know, the gift of God will heal all is kind of what William thought about a lot of stuff. So it was a lot of people who are sick aren't necessarily getting medicine or like general practice.
They're praying for God to lend his healing hand.
Yeah, they kind of got thrown into a room and sometimes someone would go in there and put a hand on their face and say, heal him! And if it didn't work, they'd just left them alone for a while. Because that's what happened in the 1920s.
In other words, effective medicine is what we're talking about here. So
Lila finds out, or kind of figures out, that the best way to sort of continue making more money would be to get into the baby market. Now, in the 1920s, the US and Canada had absolutely zero laws when it came pretty much to children in general. You could beat your children, you could sell them on the road, you could, you know, pimp them out. It really didn't matter.
That's kids, what I'm talking about.
Kids weren't people yet.
Property.
They really were property. Like, I mean, women only just barely got the right to vote and they, you know, didn't really care about kids yet. So, like, she convinces William that getting in the baby market would be their best idea because there's a lot of sinners in town in Nova Scotia, apparently. But also,
there are a lot of sinners in Nova Scotia.
Also, they're very close to New York and New Jersey. And what they were finding was in the summertime, especially, people were going up to Nova Scotia for, you know, vacations and stuff. Or they were going up there to escape the city, and they weren't all very godly.
Are you telling me they would have unprotected, unmarried sex?
Some of them.
What?
In New York City.
There were two sides of this coin. There was they helped the married couples and delivering their babies and doing midwifery stuff. And then there was where they claimed to be helping unwed mothers keep the judgment away. Now, for that, what they would do is if you, you know, got knocked up by your boss or your dad or your neighbor or whoever, and you didn't want the neighbors to know, the town to find out, to be shamed out of your family, anything like that, you could actually go to this sanitarium. And basically what they would do, they'd give you two options. One, you can pay $500, you get room and board, and we'll deliver your baby and we'll handle your baby. Plain and simple, good and gone. If you couldn't afford $500, you could get paid $8 a week and you can live there, but you have to do chores. You have to help deliver babies, you have to help clean everything up, deal with everybody and everything, like manage the other patients that are there until you're ready to pop, basically. And then they also help like deal and manage your baby. But sometimes what would happen is if you're only making like $8 a week and the cost is $500, you're going to be there a while. And so some of the ladies ended up being there for over 18 weeks trying to pay this off well after their pregnancy.
$500 back then, that's like...
it's a lot.
Yeah, thousands and thousands now.
One of the sort of unbreakable rules that the Youngs decided to ignore they sort of lost track of what exactly they were doing because they started to make a shit ton of money because selling children was not illegal. And they found out that people typically, if they are a specific religion, they want to have a baby also in that religion because, you know, you don't want a bigot baby.
Couldn't you just raise the baby in your... It's a baby.
Well...
Probably doesn't believe in anything.
So what they would do is to most couples, they didn't care. They were just like, yeah, we'll just raise them to be whatever we want. Doesn't matter. But Jewish people, and this is going to sound a little mean, Jewish people specifically wanted Jewish babies because you technically can't be Jewish if you don't come from Jewish blood. If you do not have a Jewish mother, then you are not technically Jewish. Like, even if your father is Jewish, it doesn't matter because if your mother's not Jewish, you're not Jewish. That's sort of how it works for them. So what these people were doing, what Lila and Williams would do, is actually convince the unwed mothers to lie on the adoptive papers and say that they were Jewish so that way they could legally and not legally kind of sell children as Jewish, even though they weren't. And there's, like, no identifying factors. It's an infant. It barely can breathe on its own as it is. So it's like, here you go. Here's your Jewish baby. And they kind of just had to go with it. In the, like, 30s and 40s, like, Jewish people were starting to kind of immigrate over in a little bit more of a heavier fashion due to things going on in the political spectrum on the other side of the world.
In the 40s? You're talking about
30s. 40s? 30s to 40s. And a lot of them were landing in New York and New Jersey. And so what was happening was there was a pretty high adoptive market there. And so you'd get stuck on a list for a long time waiting to get a Jewish baby. So they'd get, like,
they were in vogue at the time.
They'd see, like, a flyer or a newspaper article about how, like, in Nova Scotia, they got all these Jewish babies. Come get one. Totally not illegal. Again, gotta
Jewish babies for sale at a perfectly reasonable price.
Yeah. All you gotta do is drive up.
You won't break the bank with our Butterbox babies.
So, yeah, they would drive all the way up there, and for anywhere between $1,000 to $10,000, you could just buy a quote-unquote Jewish baby.
Whoa, so they're making money on the way in. $500 from you, lady, to make that baby come out.
Yep.
Then I'm making money on the way out.
Yep. And the unwed mother got zero out of the sale. There was no paying back.
Well, she's a sinner.
Yeah, right. So fuck her.
I mean, she should not have done sex with her body, obviously.
She should feel so honored that her baby was a hot commodity.
What's pretty funny, though, is at the time, neither the U.S. nor Canada had any laws against, like, selling kids, beating kids, working kids, this and that. But there was laws about abortion and birth control. Sure. Like, those were both illegal. So, we don't care what the fuck you do with the kid after, but right before, cannot get rid of it.
I mean...
Cannot not have it.
We're not drastically far off from that still today.
Unfortunately. also their birth control methods back then, it's like a sheep's, like, intestine. Like, what do you mean? What birth control were they seriously trying to stop at that point?
They weren't trying super hard.
No. So, but abortion was super illegal. But also abortion at that point in time, like, was like an 80-20 death or like make it rule. Like, there was
call either.
There wasn't even hangers at that point in time. It just, you know, fall down the stairs and hope.
Oh my God.
But that was illegal. So the unwed mothers really had to kind of just grit and bear it, unfortunately. There wasn't another option for them. It was stay in your town where you know you're going to be outcast, have the child, and be, like, unable to get a job, unable to live your life, unable to, like, actually provide for your kid. Or go, you know, on a vacation for 9 months, have it, come back, and just be like, oh, I'm so rested. Right.
You're glowing, too.
Or 18 months, you know, if you got stuck having to pay a whole lot in order to deal with it all. So, essentially, they would prey on these women, and they, not counting the Jewish children, but also counting them, obviously, they, somewhere in between 800 and 1,500 babies being born in that home, they made a crap ton of money, and they weren't taxed on a single dollar.
Very like, smart.
Shit ton of money. So the mothers, they're charged $500. You could technically stay and pay it off as you go. And they were also helping deliver babies at a time that germs weren't known of yet. Mm-hmm. So there was a huge risk of dying also if you did this. Like, right. You could have just paid them this money, gone there and died, and nobody would have known where you were,
right.
How you died, why you died, and who killed you.
Right.
But it really was just like some other pregnant lady who didn't wash her hands, who just stuck them inside of you, and now you're dead.
Oh my God.
It was the nature of germ theory.
Yeah.
When did Louis Pasteur figure out microbes, and when was that?
Well, there was that point where they figured out that those existed, and then there was the point where people started actually listening to the fact that they existed. Because when they first found out germs were a thing, doctors were like, no, that's not real.
Yeah.
Stuff can't be that small.
Small things I can't see? Impossible.
Yeah, that's magic. That's
Jesus,
not...
though. That's for reals.
Yeah. In the Lord we
Bank
trust.
Bank on it.
So one fun thing that they would actually do is, even if you were a married couple, it's not like they were only dicks to the unwed mothers. If you were a married couple, sometimes they would tell the couple that your baby died during childbirth. So sorry. But it turned out that somebody just happened to want a blue-eyed baby, and so they just yoink the kid and sell him off.
Whoa.
And just not tell him.
At what point, gosh, was there some kind of tipping point? That feels like you're on the back end of being an evil piece of shit, right? Like, somewhere along the line, she probably was like, we need to help these ladies have babies. But at some point, they had to make enough money where they're just like, all right, fucking take that one.
But I kind of feel like it's probably the Christian way to be is, you know, to see someone that's not following your own rules, and so you think being able to profit off of them is totally okay.
I mean, I think profiting off of people who are ideologically opposed to you is pretty much standard practice.
But it's not to say that the unwed mothers weren't religious in their own way, but it's just like the unfortunate human condition of being horny.
Yeah. But you're saying they would do this to married couples. Married couples
a baby. That goes completely against their religion. Right. But the whole screwing over unwed mothers who technically broke the religious law.
Well,
like,
they felt less bad about that.
Yeah, right? That's probably what they started there. And then they were like, what if we just told them that their kid died?
Then they just started to love the game.
Exactly. They, like, oh, they made so much money that greed overtook them and they just continued on.
And that's when it became unethical.
There were times that a mother, like a married couple, if they had twins, they could get double the amount of money. Or like if somebody specifically requested twins, they would literally just tell the mother that both of the kids died. Sucks. And then they'd sell them for like $10,000 a pop.
Good business model.
It's terrible.
They're hustling, you know.
So during those same times, during the deliveries, judgment calls would be made. Oftentimes, Lila was in the room when a delivery was taking place. And a determination would be made if a child was born sick or deformed or mixed. They would just...
Mixed, like half black?
Yeah.
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 Or whatever.
If you were a full race and you had a buyer, they'd keep you. But if you were a mixed race and nobody wanted that... So during deliveries, judgments would be made. And if a child was sick or deformed or at times even mixed raced, they would essentially decide to not keep that baby. And the way that they would do this is actually through feeding them molasses and water. Now, we know now in the 21st century, water is actually like poisonous to babies, like infants. Within the first 6 months, if you gave a baby water, it can like actually fuck up their whole body.
Oh,
and
really?
Like they literally don't have the ability to filter.
When I was born, they made me drink a ton of water right after I was born.
It explains a lot.
Because apparently, I don't mean to go off topic, but when you're born and you're a baby, they can't discharge you from the hospital until they've seen you urinate.
Mm.
And I had, you know, performance anxiety, being that it was the day that I was born and it was a really rough day. I couldn't make it happen in front of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I got stage fright. And so they made me drink a ton of water until I could pee, and I finally peed, but then I started throwing up a whole bunch because they made me drink all the water, and it was a really rough day, first one.
So they've determined
to
that...
To your recollection, in any case.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They've determined that babies literally, you can't absorb it, because your body's not developed in that way yet when you're first born, and your kidneys also can't function yet. So they really, you're not supposed to give babies water for the first 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So what they would do is give
them
milk, baby.
Breast milk has a lot
They get the water. Like, you obviously need water.
Yeah.
You need to hydrate.
And you
Yeah, you get it through the milk or the formula.
And the worst part is that hospital has been demolished, so I can't even file a lawsuit.
I mean, there's probably a reason.
You guys are the reason that I am the way that I am, you know, here and now.
So the reason that they would give them molasses and water was, I couldn't find a specific for the molasses part, but I'm guessing
it makes it sweet. Makes it taste good.
I guess, but babies don't really care about flavor when they're hungry. But they would give them molasses and water, and it would generally take about 2 weeks for this to actually, like, nuke them. And they'd just slowly watch that baby, like, not make it. And then once it was finally gone, they would put it in a butter box. Now, these butter boxes they would get from the local dairy that were literally used to case the butter and take it to the stores and stuff, or take it to the people that were getting it, however they did it. And the butter boxes would serve as the coffins. They would actually line them with satin, also from the dairy, that they would use for, I don't know what, I couldn't find what they used the satin for, but it was specifically pointed out that they got it from the dairy. But they lined the boxes with satin, they put the babies in them, and they still charged the mothers for them. So if you had a baby and they didn't want it, they charged your ass. That's your fault that they don't want your baby. Not only did you already pay to be here and deliver the baby, but not only are they killing your baby, they're charging you for it.
Well, those boxes aren't free,
yeah,
bitch.
And then they would either dump the box out to sea, they would bury it next to the cemetery in their property, or they would burn it. Just depended on the situation. I will say, from the reports I read, it seemed like they burned specific ones a little more often than they did the other two methods, but only in specific cases where the children were deformed. So they didn't want them coming back, I guess.
It's unfortunate. Medical technology could not be more advanced back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Pretty terrible. So a lot of people, I mean, again, 800 to about 1,500 babies were born there. But the real numbers are skewed because they don't know how many they killed. They don't know how many, like, actually got to go home with their parents.
So purportedly 800 to 1,500.
Somewhere in that line. They get most of those numbers from the adoption papers, but a lot of those were also not correct.
Mm.
Especially because they would, at times, like, if somebody had twins, they could lie and say your baby died, sure, and then sell each twin individually, get 20 grand for that, or sell them as a bundle, get a certain amount for that, or they would have somebody who says, I want twins, so they would get two single babies from two different mothers, put them together, and say they were twins, even though they weren't. Close enough.
They really had it down to a science, that whole business model. They really...
They really figured it out.
You know, on some level, you got to respect the hustle. It was not used ethically, but you know, they really...
They... Like the
Bill Gates of eugenics here.
They were just genuinely terrible people. Eventually, you know, something happens. I'm guessing one of the mothers or one of the married couples gets pretty pissed off at these people. And they kind of report them to the authorities. But there's nothing technically illegal happening, so... What ends up getting reported is that the conditions inside are gross, just terrible. Nobody's managing cleanliness. Right. No one's, like, taking care of the mothers, all this and that. So health and services get involved, and they go and look into the location at around 1945. And at this time, new adoption laws are being created and putting into action, basically saying you can't sell kids anymore. Right. And... So they go there, and this is supposed to now be just an adoption place. It's not a sell your kids place. But they go there, and they just see gross stuff all over the place. They see these mothers that are, like, 6 to 9 months pregnant, like, waddling around trying to help other mothers, right, because they're trying to pay off their debts. And they report back in the news about how terrible this location is. Stay away from there. Don't go there. And the Youngs get really pissed off. And so they actually attempt to sue the Montreal Standard Publishing Company for covering them and file like a defamation case against them.
So you're saying this really isn't an ideal maternity home?
No. Well, so as part of the court hearing, pediatricians are sent to the home or the sanitarium to go and like check out the conditions to see who's telling the truth. Is it really gross, or was, you know, somebody just salty about their situation? So the pediatricians go there and they report back that there's overcrowding. There's too many pregnant women in one room. There are too many babies being, like, put into the same, like, bed. There are fly-filled nurseries. So they have newborns to, like, 3 to 4 month old babies just, like, surrounded by flies and maggots, as well as clearly noticeable malnourished children. And what they're referring to those are the ones that were drinking
the molasses in the water.
Exactly. Yeah. Malnourished children. So the court is immediately like, you are losing this case because clearly nobody lied. Some of the unwed mothers got interviewed after, you know, their time there, and they kind of got to speak out about what happened. And so one woman claimed that their baby actually, like, died due to there not being any medical attention, as it came out blue and nobody knew how to handle that. I don't know if that's really their fault or if that's just of the time.
A little CPR, I'm sure.
We'll never know what really happened, but she claims that it's because they did not, you know what to do.
You get the spank of life.
Even on the bottom end, if you've delivered 800 babies, you've seen a bunch of shit. You know what to do with X, Y, and Z issue. 800, that's a lot. And it's probably way more than that, you know? Like,
she should be adept at this point. Another one of the unwed mothers claimed that the Youngs actually made her pretend to be a nurse during an inspection, so that way they wouldn't get hit on not having enough staff. And I'm like, I don't know if I was doing an inspection on a place that's supposed to be helping pregnant women, and they had a bunch of pregnant staff members, I would be like, oh, this is fine. I don't know. Something would seem weird.
Working at a place that helps pregnant women with a lot of pregnant staff members in a way that might, you know, speaking as a man, if I was a pregnant woman, that might make me feel more secure knowing that I was surrounded by people who can clearly empathize with my situation.
I would prefer a trained nurse, though, to the sympathy.
But, like, do you remember when you pulled a muscle in your leg?
Yeah.
Imagine, like, 3 pulled muscles in your back with, like, an extra 20 pounds on your gut, and then having to walk around and help other people also feeling like that, and you're all hot and sweaty because AC doesn't exist yet.
Now, that's being one of the people who works there.
Yeah, I want you to imagine it so that you can actually understand what you just said and how you don't think that would seem weird.
If I was a patient with 3 pulled muscles in my back and I saw the doctor was like, same thing happened to me, it's actually happening right now, I'd be like, okay, this guy knows.
That's not, I don't think, the same, but
it's basically the same.
It's not. No. Do you see how it's sketchy, though? If, like, you went to a place where you're like,
it would be a little weird.
No, like, you go to a place because you're supposed to see how many people are dressed up like Scooby-Doo, but everyone, all of the waiters are also dressed up like Scooby-Doo. Pregnant. Seems a little suspicious.
It's suspicious, but let's face it, it's not surprising. Like, these guys are not major corporations cheat in front of regulators all the time. They get caught doing it. This is a mom and pop who gives a shit in the middle of nowhere, Nova Scotia.
Well,
you think they're going to try to pull a fast one?
They were already getting in a lot of trouble, so.
This is an independent business.
Sure.
A family business, if you will.
This was before corporations were. And then a third unwed mother actually says that she lied on her papers to say that she was Jewish to be able to sell her baby as a Jewish baby. That's how the looking into the adoption paperwork kind of was founded, that they were lying about which ones were Jewish, is because she came out and said it. So apparently once all of this was released, their reputation kind of was, like, irreparable, and Canada and America also were so concerned about the issues that came out from this that both sides literally started to make laws about, like, okay, you can't sell kids, can't kill kids, you can't have, like, unwed mothers.
That's when they had to go and ruin everything because one person went and, you know, pulled a loophole.
And now they have stricter adoption laws. And so the parents still, like, if you have a baby and you put it up for adoption, you still don't get any money from that.
And
but
you can't
if you
just say that it's Jewish.
Want to adopt a baby, you still have to pay between $10,000 and $30,000 to adopt a child. So that part still stayed around. It's just the money goes to the person who's holding the kids anyway. So I guess that's still around.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. It's just ridiculous on how expensive it is for someone to say, there's a lost child and I'm willing to take that responsibility on myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this freaking dollars. But you know what's real free? baby comes out. Like, why is that? Everybody's cool with that's happening all the time. No regulations whatsoever. Any dipshit can make children come to this world. But if somebody genuinely wants to help a child, it's like, we got some motherfucking ropes you got to step through here, Holmes. Right? Yeah. That's messed up.
And there are usually going to be probably, like, fucked up children, unfortunately. Like, because it's the people who are giving them up are people who...
addicted to drugs.
They're addicted to drugs, or they can't, like, actually raise the kid, and it's, you know, a certain age, so it remembers what's happening, or it was ripped away from its family for unknown reasons or for improper reasons, and, like, now you have this kid who's got a massive amount of trauma that, like, you want to genuinely help, but the state is...
and it's $30,000.
Yeah, and like, the state's literally like, maybe.
This should be a little...
whatever. Point is,
you can
up.
Come and have a kid for free, essentially. You know, having the kid's not free, and like raising the kid's not free, but the act of creating the child is free for most.
Yeah.
but if you want to adopt one, not only do you pay that $30,000 to adopt the kid, but now you also have to pay all the extra money in order to like keep the kid, because you also have to have a better house and a better job and mode of transportation. Like, if you just nut in someone and have a kid, you don't have to have all that. No one's checking.
That's right.
No one makes sure that you have a nice place to live.
We're espousing mankind engineering, right? Look, you're just too poor. You're too fucked up. You can't have any more babies.
If you've done meth in the last year,
you're out. You're out of the baby making
right
pool.
Now.
That's right.
That's not fair.
How so?
I mean... what that woman should have said who lied about the Jewish children, she should have said, I'm religiously Jewish but not ethnic. That would have given her the plausible deniability in court.
No, she was like tattling on them. It didn't matter if she wasn't Jewish.
Well, whatever. I mean, all of them, they could have all just been like, oh no, we're religious Jews. Did we say we were Jewish? Yeah, that's our... we meant
no,
religiously.
No, they weren't. They didn't say they were Jewish. I think they just said they were Jewish. They didn't elaborate. If you took that as religiously or by blood, that's on you.
Well, if they went
that's
to court
probably the
over
route
it,
they took.
Was it ever proven that they weren't Jewish?
How were they going to prove it? They didn't have blood testing back then. So... just to throw out there, so there are still a few survivors that are around.
They're listening right
some
now.
Of the people who, sure. By now, they would be, you know, 100 to 70-ish at this point in time. So pretty sure they're not listening. But if you are, like, cool. You're hip to it.
Come on the show. Let us interview you. Tell us about your time.
But what a lot of them are is their kids or their grandkids at this point in time are starting to try and like trace back into their family. Yeah. A lot of like ancestry is coming out where like, you know, you're doing your DNA tests and they're trying to figure out where their family line goes. And so a few of them have actually, or they may have passed like years in the past, they actually found their birth mothers, like the kids. And they tried to make contact and found that they weren't really wanted by the unwed mothers of that time. Like, there's a reason they did it, unfortunately. Try to find their birth mothers, assuming there's going to be this, like, massive connection, only to be ultimately let down immensely. Because it's like, unfortunately, you were put up for adoption for a reason. Could that reason have just been they couldn't do it at the time and they've always regretted it? Sure. Unfortunately, it's more common that they just didn't want you, which is a really crappy thing to think about, but it's like a real thing. So when these people were finding who their actual biological parents were or mother was, and then they weren't immediately like welcome with open arms, you know, they were kind of devastated.
But I mean, like, and this is the rub on all this, you know, stigma on birth control and all this kind of stuff is like, hey, every time people have sex doesn't mean that they want a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the way that works. And I know that's the way our bodies work and we're all like engineered by evolution to be desiring that or whatever, but the fact remains a lot of people have sex because it feels real good inside body, right? Not because they want to have a baby. And when baby comes out, a lot of times even people who are married are like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then people have the kid, and of course they're like, oh, my kid's the most wonderful thing in my life, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes.
And most, I mean, just about every time, they're certainly going to tell you that, right? Because it's just like socially unacceptable to be like,
fucking wish I never had this piece of shit. But it's a non-zero chance that there are lots of parents who feel that way, right? And certainly in the case where they're like, dude, I got to give this kid up.
They paid $500 to not have to see you again.
That's real bucks, you know?
It's unfortunate. But that would really suck if you wasted a whole bunch of time to try and figure out who that person is just to find out they didn't want you. Mm. So almost like, nine grand to give up your kid. And you'd still have to pay even more if they died or they were killed.
At that point, you might as well. I mean, like, I know, birth control was not legal in the 20s, but I imagine it was probably easier to get illicit birth control than pay $9,000.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what was the street price for
the thing was birth like control? They didn't have like birth control pills in the 1920s.
What was the street price for a diaphragm?
I mean, all that stuff was essentially, you know, taboo, right? Like, I mean, it was frowned upon to, you know, even talk about that stuff, let alone go purchase something, right? People always be giving them the whatever, a tea with foxglove in it or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's a lot of old remedies for babies that are unwanted, and that goes back, you know, to whatever, the Greeks and stuff.
So in the 1920s, a popular birth control method would have been cervical caps and rubber diaphragms.
Do they still make diaphragms?
Yeah, they're just not very commonly
used. What's a 2024 diaphragm look like? Who still uses diaphragms in 2024? That's a whole Boo Boys episode on its own.
Here you go. This is what a Durex condom looks like. Look at that freaking Jimmy hat.
That's dope.
Invented by the founder of the Goodyear Tire Company.
Wow.
A rubber.
Whoa.
Because it's a rubber. What? They made tires out of rubber. Uh-huh.
Looking at that condom, I know I'd never measure up to the founder of the Goodyear Tire Company. Jesus Christ.
Homie had some real girth if he was measuring it in tires, you know?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to use myself as a reference here.
This says that they mass-produced rubber goods, including condoms, quickly and cheaply. And
there we go.
The rubber on finer condoms tended to perish on the sea journey to New Zealand, specifically. Thicker condoms such as this were more reliable but less comfortable to wear.
So and it's all about my comfort.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sheep's intestine. They still use these. You can buy these at the store. Yeah. This is what a lot of people do if they're allergic to.
My grandpa used to tell me stories about the lambskins when he was a kid. He was born in the
30s. These are just regular ones. These aren't.
You know, some of those films I've seen with the nurses, oftentimes they have other methods of contraception as well. They largely ejaculate in non-womb places, I think is probably the best way to say it.
That's their preferred method of birth control.
Right. It's you know, it's kind of foolproof when you think about it.
In 2024?
Yeah, current day.
Who uses one?
Well, so a lot of people kind of phased out in the 80s because, you know, better methods came out. In the 50s, the pill came out. So there you kind of had an ability to choose different things, and there's a lot of different methods now. But this one phased out in the 80s because of the pill, patches, and the shot that kind of came out. But this was, it's like 70%.
Effective
because it's fine when it's in.
That's not good enough odds.
But it's fine when it's in, but you have to like pull it out, and in the pulling it out part, if you like tilt it the wrong way, it's gonna just like
fill that stuff up.
Yeah, so it's like you're wasting your time. So you either have to leave it in there until like everything kind of like goes away, or you know, risk taking it out. So. Yeah, a lot of women use similar kind of things of this for menstruation now, though. They have these things called Diva Cups,
Diva Cups,
a similar idea, but you flip it you flip it the other
inside
way.
Out. Catches all the juice. And here we are talking about that instead of these poor dead kids.
They're not all dead. These ones are survivors.
They're
survivors.
Well, they might be dead now. Again, they'd be close to 100 at this point.
They'll live forever, idiot.
Like they still survive to the Butterbox.
Any questions, comments, concerns?
I have a lot of concerns.
Always concerns. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever have talked about a topic that wasn't concerning.
And that's what makes it the Boo Boys.
Unfortunately
so.
All right. Well, with no questions, comments, or concerns, my name's Dalton.
My name's Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we're the Boo Boys. Make sure you check out our social media and keep an ear out for the next episode. Bye.
Bye.